you would, turn with me to the 13th chapter of Romans. We will be reading verses 11 through 14. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts.
Jesus has provided us a wealth of spiritual knowledge that's memorable whenever he gives us the parables. They're stories. Think about from your childhood, some of the lessons that we remember the best are some of the stories that we were told. And there's a lot of old stories and, you know, fairy tales, things like that, nursery rhymes. They just stick with us. God knows how we can remember things easily. It's one of the reasons he teaches us to sing, too, because we can remember things whenever we sing them better than if we just read them sometimes. In fact, it was back in the old days that they sang the Psalms. You remember in the Psalms when you read them and you see the word Selah all throughout? Apparently that was a kind of a point of keeping time and such with the music. It was kind of a pause with the music, and they would move on then to the next verse and such. There's one parable I'd like for us to consider this morning, one that you know quite well. It's easy to remember. It's from Matthew chapter 25, and it goes with the scripture reading that Brother Jake had for just a moment ago, in which Paul talks about waking up, arise and awake. We're going to come back to what Paul had to say there in Romans chapter 13 later on in the lesson. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 25, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. But those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' And he answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" With all these 10 virgins, they were all prepared to some extent. There were some of them, though, that actually prepared, over-prepared, if you will, which is a good lesson in and of itself. How many of them, though, do we read about slumbering and sleeping? All of them do. All of them fall asleep. All of them slumber, it says. And then whenever the time comes at midnight for them to rise up and to go, we see it, the difference. It becomes very apparent because of the over-preparation that the 5 do. You ever been woken up before? you unexpectedly, maybe you were going to, it was an important day. And maybe you thought, well, I know that I need to get a little bit more done, but I'm just too tired right now. I'm going to go to bed. I'll tell you what, I'm going to wake up early. I'll get it done. And then we'll go on our way. And then you get woken up. And it's time to go. And you don't have time to get the things finished up like you wanted. You're rushing and running about, and you can't get everything done. Imagine all of us have been there in some way or another, whether it was whenever we were back in school, we were about to miss the bus, or we didn't wake up early enough to study for that test we wanted to, or get our homework finished, or sometimes even with church, maybe. We don't always wake up early enough to get here, and we're rushing and scrambling, which is a side point on that. Whenever you rush and you scramble, whether it was because you didn't prepare for your test like you should, or it's for work, or even a vacation, right? What does it do to your mindset and your body? It stresses you out. You're tired. You feel negative, right? And even an experience which is supposed to be good, suddenly it becomes a bit of a dreadful thing because you put yourself in that mindset and you're not prepared. That can happen with the Lord's Day. I think that that's why. That's one of the reasons why God and the old law taught people to prepare for the Sabbath, because if you have been prepared, then you have a positive mindset about the Lord's Day. If you come and you're having to rush and scramble and such, you're going to view church negatively, perhaps. Just as a side point. But going back to what we're talking about here, we're talking about the bridegroom coming. How do you think the virgins felt? Five of them felt fine. Whenever the bridegroom came, it's fine. Fine that he was delayed. It's fine that we came right now. Why? We got plenty of oil. Yeah, I got a little nap in too. And now we're going to go meet him. But the other five, they were scrambling. Why? Because if they go to trim their lamps, they realize they don't have enough oil and their lamps are going out and they're not going to make it. And they can't mooch any off of their friends, so what do they have to do? They're going to go try and buy some at midnight, wake the cellar up and go get some oil, fill their lamps up, come back, and of course they can't make it. And by the time they're knocking on the door for the master to let them in, for the bridegroom to let them in, the door is shut, and the guy says, I don't know you. All my friends are inside. If you were my friends, you would have come whenever I called, you see. They weren't prepared. They slept. And they slept there a time away, and they assumed too much, and they missed it. They missed it all. How sad that's what a state that'll be, my friends. Now think for just a moment with what the real meaning of this parable is. We know what this is talking about. Jesus is the bridegroom, right? We're the virgins. Now whether or not we're the five scrambling unprepared virgins or we're the five virgins that are prepared, I'll let you make that call. But whenever Jesus comes, just for a moment, if you thought Jesus was to come right now, boom, would you feel like you're scrambling? Would you be quite content with his coming, quite happy with his coming? That perhaps provides you with a little bit of insight into who you are. I'd like to make this point too. Whenever the virgins were sleeping, whenever they fell asleep, how did they all feel whenever they fell asleep? They all felt content. I mean, even the ones who were not fully prepared, they were content when they laid their head down. They weren't worried. It wasn't until they were woken up and they realized that they then were worried. And so, I think that takes us to what Paul is talking about a bit in the book of Romans, where he says, again in verse 11, do this, knowing that it is time. Now it is the high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we were first when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. While we are yet asleep and we are slumbering, Paul equals that to living a worldly life. How do we feel? Well, in many ways, we probably think that we're quite content. We sleep. And we don't perhaps worry about things that we should be worrying about. Paul says, though, it is time for us to rise out of that and wake up and put those works of darkness behind us and put on the armor of light. So then he says, walk properly as in the day. Look at what he says. Not revelry, not drunkenness, not lewdness or lust, right? Maybe. You ever thought before, I wonder, why does Paul list those specific sins there? Do not the majority of those kind of tend with nightlife, sexual immorality, drunkenness, partying, and such? Paul says that's not what our life is to be like. That's not what our life is to be. Because we are the children of day now. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So we rise up, and we're awake, and we are ready, and we're prepared for the Lord's coming. We're prepared for the work he has before us because, well, we are well rested. We have not spent the night doing the works of the night, but we have been resting in that time. We're ready now to rise up and do the works of the daylight. Paul makes another parallel with this whenever he's writing to Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's just a short section right here. He goes on to say here, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll go ahead and read these verses and we'll come back to it. He says in verse 6, he says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Tying in with that is the point of how God is the one who helps roust us out of this sleep. Eyes not seen, ears not heard. Why? The world was asleep. God is the one who had to reveal it to the world, like the dawning of the day, and show the world his love and his plan for redeeming mankind. In 1 Corinthians 15, let's move over into chapter 15 for just a moment. Let's tie in back to what we were talking about earlier about a white awakening and such. And he says here in verse 34, he says, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Interesting with this, you back up a little bit and look at some of the things that he talks about here. He says in let's begin in verse 31. He says, I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts of Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, in this context, I think Paul is talking about suffering. He's talking about suffering from God and also talking about the hope of the resurrection. It makes sense in the whole context of 1 Corinthians 15, of course. But let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. He says, do not deceive. Evil companionship corrupts good morals or good habits. Awake to righteousness. Do you see some parallels with what he says earlier in Romans chapter 13? When he talks about revelry, drunkenness, lewdness, lust, strife, and envy, all of these works of darkness, nightlife and such, is kind of what Paul is building off of here. And here you go back into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you see a similar sort of thing. If there is no tomorrow, let's live it up tonight, you see. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there is no resurrection, if there is no dawning of a new day, then why not just live it up, you see? Live it up and enjoy. And Paul says, do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt your morals. We surround ourselves by those of the night and those of wickedness, those of the world. And see, my friends, we have to stop and remember this and be wise about this, because those of the world makes us seem like just good old boys and gals. He's a good guy, right? We can be deceived. And we can just go right along with them. And we'll go along and be content. Be just fine. Until the dawn arises. The new day comes. Until the bridegroom calls out. Until Christ returns and calls us home. And suddenly, it will perhaps dawn upon us how we have wasted our time and how we have not spent our time wisely. I know that I've done that. I mean, I think about times that I wasted whenever I was should have been up studying or something like that, or I got myself in that situation to begin with. Why was I trying to cram at the end anyway? I was putting it off. Procrastinating, right? All well-intentioned always. But still, and then I was trying to cram, and you know what happens. When you're having to do that, the last thing you want to do is study. And so then you find yourself getting distracted with other things. Well, I'll get on it here in a minute. Do the same thing. Let me go get something to eat. Let me get a cup of coffee. Well, another cup of coffee. I'll do this or that or the other. All right. Before you know it, the time is spent. The time is gone. The sun comes up and the dawn appears, the birds are chirping. And now what will I do? I've wasted the night, and I am tired, and I'm far too spent, and I am expected to go out. Perhaps you haven't done that. I've done it far too many times, right? How will it be, though, whenever Jesus comes? Do you think that we'll sit there and not think that we'll stop and reflect and think that whenever we are separated from God, that why, oh why, did I waste my time? Why did I spend it on things that really did not matter in the end? Do you think those virgins were wondering that? Surely some of them were. Why didn't we just take a little more? Why did I waste it? Why, while I was sleeping, why didn't I take a little more effort to prepare before it was too late? You see? Jesus teaches us a great lesson in this. The Apostle Paul teaches us a great lesson in this. And in tying in with the idea of just some of these evils that Paul talks about here, the satisfaction of the flesh, and tying it with our class this morning, when we were talking about the children of Israel desiring and wanting all the dainties of Egypt and such, and also then looking at the Sermon on the Mount that we read for the collection of Jesus talking about not seeking the treasures of this life, but rather that is to come. Whenever we live for the flesh and we satisfy the flesh to the fullest, how does that make us? What does that make us? You think about what Proverbs talks about, you know, the seven deadly sins and all that. Gluttony, sexual immorality, drunkenness. All of those kind of make us sleepy, don't they? And lazy. I mean, physically it happens to us, but it happens to us spiritually as well. When we live for the flesh, my friends, and we give ourselves wholly over to it, and we're gluttonous, we're drunken, just satisfy our body's desires constantly, it makes us sleepy. It makes us lazy. Not just physically, but spiritually speaking. When we get that way, what do we think? Well, I need more of that to make me feel better again. And we get in that cycle. And we are asleep then, essentially. We've become a person of the night. We just are living for this world and living for this day. We're living for the weekend then. And we're not really living for God. We're not living for the day because we're not really thinking about tomorrow. It can happen. And before you know it, we can, as well-intentioned as we might be, the time will come upon us. And like Jesus' disciples, as they were waiting for him while he was praying in the garden, Though our spirits are willing, our bodies are weak, and we may very well give in. God be praised and God be thanked, though, that he is so merciful to us and he is so long-suffering with us that he is willing to forgive us.
Amen.
And he's willing to show us the way. And he teaches us the way, my friends, of how to put off those works of darkness and to put on the armor of light and put on characteristics which will lead to life and godliness, not just now, but ultimately in the life that is to come. He is a good God, and he is a loving God, and he wants us to be with him, and he wants us to celebrate with him, and to enjoy being in his presence. If you don't believe that, consider what John said in Revelation chapter 19, when he said in verse 5, he said, "Then the voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, and as it were, the voice of a multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of many mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. God wants us there. Don't you want to be there? And have your voice be part of those many waters and thundering and such, shouting out praises to omnipotent, almighty God for eternity. I know I do. I'd like to end this in a way that I normally don't do. But I'm going to read part of a poem to you. It's actually a song. It's not one that, I don't know if it's in our book or not. I didn't look. It's a really old one. But it's a translation from a German song. And you've all heard of Johann Sebastian Bach. He had a chorale and cantata named Sleepers Awake. And it's based off of this. This is a translation of that. He just wrote the music. He didn't write the words. But listen. Awake, wake, awake, for night is flying. The watchmen on the heights are crying. Awake, Jerusalem, arise. Midnight hears the welcome voices, and at the thrilling cry rejoices. Where are the virgins, pure and wise? The bridegroom comes. Awake, your lamps with gladness take. Hallelujah. Bridal care and faith's full prayer to meet the bridegroom. Come, prepare. My dear friend, won't you come and prepare today? Cast off the works of the night, cast off the darkness, and to be arrayed in the armor of light that God has for you. What soiled rags we wear as we live on our own in this world, but what a mighty and valiant and glorious attire God has waiting for us, for you this morning. For those of you who need to become a Christian, my friends, won't you be baptized for the remission of your sins? Jesus Christ himself said, He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe? And why don't you do what he said? And my friends, those who know, won't you come back to God while you have time? If you need encouragement for the praise of the saints, come as we sing.